Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's the boss.
I call shot like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
From the SportsMap Radio Studios, here's David Gao.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back. It is Monday after division round playoffs in the NFL. And we have broken down all the games except for one remains, and it is the Lions over the Bucks.
And I love that game. It was an exciting game.
It actually was more exciting than I thought.
Right.
The Bucks hung in there until the late picks, but it was a good back and forth battle between those two teams.
Well, you know, I'm watching the game with my husband, who is not a huge
your man friend.
Fan. There we go. My man friend.
Yes.
Who's not as big of a sports fan as me, and he's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Mayfield looks amazing. I said, wait till the fourth quarter. What sealed the win for Detroit? I just want to hear it. I just want to hear it from my partner in crime.
He threw the pick.
An ugly one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that rookie has been waiting for he's not even a rookie, young player. It's his third year. It took him 3 years to get his first pick.
Yep.
And he got it off of Mayfield in a playoff game.
Yep.
So there you go. I think he leads the NFL probably next to Jameis Winston in fourth quarter interceptions. It's a problem.
Well, it was a problem, and obviously they ended up losing the game. The fate of Baker Mayfield will be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner. He's been with four teams?
In 5 years.
In 5 years. So he just keeps bouncing around, different offensive coordinators, all that noise. He had a decent season this year. And a decent game until he threw these picks.
They were 9-8, so they were in a weak division.
Yep.
However, they did get past round one, and they almost got past round two.
They beat the
the
Eagles of all, the unbeatable Eagles.
Well,
obviously, very beatable. Okay, we do have Randy Cross joining us, I believe.
Randy
Cross joining us on SportsMap Radio on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Let me say this about Progressive. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Randy, you're on with David and Carla. Thanks so much for joining us. Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line is Randy Cross. Randy, you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. So glad to have you. Look, we'd love to ask you about the 49ers' win over the Packers yesterday. We were watching it, and we've been breaking it down prior to your coming, thinking, goodness, that was a little closer. That could have gone either way. It wasn't the over-the-top victory that I thought the 49ers might do at home. What's your analysis of that game? What do you think it tells us about the 49ers in these final two games?
Well, I think that was a good example, and maybe the game Saturday were a good example that you see teams and you expect them to be a little bit better. But, you know, when you're a team that gets a bye, it's hard. It's really hard to be back on top right away. It's just you can't go into the last regular season of a regular game season or regular season game and not play your starters and have a week off and then go into a game and figure you're just going to be normal. So, you know, that in the past, the Niners have been caught a few times. One of the years when I was there back in 87, it happened to us. Where, you know, we were flat-footed in the divisional round, and we got beat. We got our butts whipped pretty bad by Minnesota. And, you know, that is what happened. The Niners got lucky. They won with their B game. And in the playoffs, that doesn't happen very often because it's pretty much a fever pitch deal. And, you know, the B game usually doesn't do anything but get you beat.
B for beat. You're not kidding about that, Randy. Let me ask you this about San Francisco. So two questions for you, Randy, and you're so experienced with all of this. Your thoughts on Brock Purdy. I want to know, do you feel like he elevates the players around him? And then the second thing I want to know is, who do you feel is San Francisco's most important player?
On offense, I'd say it's kind of a push between Purdy and McCaffrey. They're both critically important, and the offense wouldn't be the same without them. I can't for the life of me really understand some of the hate that Brock gets from the Niner fans. They go from praise to get him out of here pretty damn fast. And, you know, he was a guy this last Sunday or Saturday who did not have a really sharp game.
Right.
And I don't think it was the wet ball. He wasn't really on. And the only time I'd seen him be that, like, off was against Baltimore. And having a quarterback do that usually gets you beat. But he was also the reason they won with some of those great passes he threw there in that second half. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think, is pretty easily that guy. I think if you look at it objectively, you'd have to say, you know, if the Niner offense plays like they normally do, you know, you go three red zones in the first half and you don't get hardly anything out of it. Against an offense like San Francisco, that's almost asking to be down 21-9. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. The offense wasn't on. It wasn't really there. And Debo came out. So, you know, that's sort of challenge one for this NFC Championship game Sunday afternoon, is to recapture some of that feel. And actually, they played their best games, especially in the second half of the season, after they got over that three-game losing streak.
Right.
When the other guy scored first. And then they'd go, you know, the other guy'd be up 7-0. Next thing you look, you go, oh, damn, it's 35-7.
Right.
So that's kind of what, you know, that's the kind of offense they need to show up.
Well, and to your point, Randy, maybe this is a good thing that happened to them, because they, after having some time off and having that bye, it's good to know we don't have to be a front runner and we can overcome it. And without Brock having his best game, he was still able to pull it in when it counted.
Yeah, and there's something to be said. I mean, when I was playing, we had some of our most memorable wins were in games where we didn't have our A game, or we had a lot of penalties, or we had a lot of turnovers. I mean, the NFC Championship game against Dallas was a penalty fest and a turnover fest. It's remembered for the catch, but it was really a pretty sloppy game. And when we played Cincinnati the second time in the Super Bowl, easily our worst, you know, performance in a Super Bowl until that last 92-yard drive when we really, really needed it. And that's the same thing that San Francisco had on Saturday with Purdy. Wasn't there, wasn't good, the timing wasn't there, but man, in that second half and those drives where they really needed him, he was there and he performed. So that's the thing to be the most positive thing about, I believe.
And that was your 2016 win and your last game as a player, right?
Yeah, my last game was Super Bowl 23. So I advise that is a great way to go out.
Yeah. I love it. Yes.
That win over the Bengals where you all drove down the field at the end?
Yeah, that was the 2016 win over Cincinnati.
You know, I was at that game and saw Montana throw to Taylor for the victory. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was not really a very engaging game. The first half was sort of a sleeper. But then that last drive was just out of this world.
Yeah. I mean, and people forget they returned the kickoff for a touchdown to go into the lead right before we had that drive. So, you know, we had the formula was there for them to upset us and us to be looking bad. But luckily we managed to pull it out pretty well. But that's football, and that's playoff football. Playoff football is...
It's a different animal.
And, you know, Buffalo found out about it again last night. You know, it's performing and stepping up at the moments where you really, really have to. As great as some of Josh Allen's runs were, and as great as some of his passes were, he had a couple plays in that last series or so that you look at and you went, damn, how do you not complete that? It's a 35-yard pass, and you throw it, it hits on the goal line 10 yards short of your receiver. But, you know, that's just, it's a tough thing about playoff football. It demands you're excellent at the end, and not everyone's up to it.
I can't resist. We're talking to Hall of Famer Randy Cross, and I can't resist asking you to go back to what it was like to be in the huddle when you're down and you're, what, about 90 yards away from winning the Super Bowl, and Joe Montana's in the huddle, and you've got to go down the whole field. Is the huddle different on that final drive? Is it quieter? Is it more intense? Or is everyone trying to stay loose? What does it feel like in that huddle?
Well, the players are intense. The players are uptight. You know, I know we're standing basically on the goal line to standing in the end zone. And the ball was on the 8-yard line, and Joe was on the sideline with Bill during the TV timeout, and he came back in, and, you know, that's when he did the old John Candy thing about, hey, is that John Candy over there? and it kind of broke the ice, and everybody looked over and went, yeah. And, you know, it just totally loosened everybody up. But those situations, there are people that they're built different. And the normal human being gets nervous in those situations. The normal human being gets apprehensive in those situations. And then the abnormal human being, like Joe Montana, gets calmer and calmer and cooler the more intense things get. I mean, it's like the heart rate lowers, the blood pressure lowers, everything in those great spots.
I'm sure you've seen, you know, there are all these new sport tech devices, and I think the day's going to come when there's going to be a patch on a quarterback that we're all going to be watching his heart rate on a final drive like that. And it would be fascinating. I'd love to know what Montana's heart rate was like on that final drive.
Yeah, not much. I guarantee it was in the 50s or 60s as far as beats per minute. That was him, though. It's the same as when we played Dallas. It was the same when we beat Chicago in the NFC Championship game that year, and it was so darn cold we couldn't hardly stand it. That's just the guys that are literally cheat codes, guys like he and Jerry Rice. That's what makes them great.
And we're going to put Randy Cross on that list too, Hall of Famer.
I agree.
Randy, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Anytime, and enjoy the games next weekend. They're going to be fantastic.
Indeed.
Thanks, Randy. You too.
Take care.
Is the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Sean, you should feel very happy because Carla's dancing to your intro music. And you know, when you got Carla moving, it's a good thing.
That's the stamp of approval I always look for.
It is the ultimate stamp of approval.
Thank you. Sean, you do a good job. You always get me moving.
There we go.
There we
very
go.
Good.
You know, one thing, it was great to talk to Randy Cross, Hall of Famer, had all those great years with the 49ers, and one of the fun things about his career is he was with the same franchise his entire career. 13 years with the 49ers, and all those great memories and championships. And actually, he left some meat on the bone because, of course, if he retired after that victory over the Bengals, there were more championships to come in San Francisco, but of course, he had been in the league for a long time, and that was the end of a great career.
And you know what? 13 years on the O-line, you know, switching from center to guard to center to, you know, back and forth. He was in the trenches. Yeah. That's some tough going.
Physical play.
It's interesting, though. You don't hear nowadays someone in any sports league staying with the same franchise for that long. And you've got another athlete in San Francisco who's at 13 years right now in Steph Curry. So it's very interesting mm-hmm. that, I don't know what's going on in San Francisco. They don't want to take their heart anywhere else.
What's a heck of a city.
It's a heck of a city. They love their champions. And they produce lot of them.
Yeah, there have been some good teams there to play for.
Yeah, they
but
really do.
One thing he said that stood out to me that I have always wrestled with is, well, he talked about how the 49ers had a bye week, and therefore they were a bit rusty when they played, and they didn't come out playing
this weekend when they play Green Bay.
That's what he said. And it was sort of like, well, okay, they didn't have their A game. They were more like their B game because they were rusty. And the interesting thing is it used to be that more than one team would get a bye. Now only the number one seed gets a bye. And the question to me is that a penalty or reward for being the number one seed? Or the other way to frame it is rest or rust the thing? I mean, it's great to get the rest, right? All the players are beat up by the end of the year. But does that make you rusty?
Well, Baltimore did not look rusty.
No.
And the Texans are not, they are not hacks.
Well, but
they're a good team.
They didn't have a great seamless first half.
No, that's true.
I mean, I don't know that you can say, well, it's because they had a bye week, they were rusty, and took a whole half to get warmed up. I don't know that I could say that. I think the Texans, with their blitzes, had Lamar out of rhythm and out of sync. But if Randy Cross is right, that having a bye creates rust that is worse than getting the benefit of a rest, well, that's a problem for the structure of the NFL. You just shouldn't penalize the number one seed with a bye that makes you rusty.
I think if you took a poll, I think anybody would want a week off. I mean, I think we don't know. I mean, you do actually, because you played football in your younger, even younger days. But I think anyone would take that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have confidence, especially when you're playing at that level. When you're one of the eight teams remaining, you are an elite team. You know how to get, you know your rhythm, you know your counts. You can get into that pretty quickly. Well, and I think they badly need, especially Deebo Samuels, as we saw, needed some rest.
Well, not to be lost. You get the rest, yes. And then, of course, less game. I mean, you've got one less game to overcome to get to the Super Bowl. And look, just every time you suit up, there's a possibility of losing even the very best team against the worst
team.
Right. You just never know. Turnover things happen. So no question, anyone would rather have the bye, but it's just not perhaps the golden ticket that it should be or could be if you think about the rust factor.
Yes, and I think it does depend on the team, honestly. It really does. And you know, a young team like Green Bay, that probably would really hurt them.
Hmm.
But an experienced team that's played together so well, like San Francisco and Baltimore, clearly. Well, San Francisco did show some rest. I do agree with you there. So.
Okay, we were talking about the final game that we had not discussed. We were talking about Tampa Bay falling to Detroit. Detroit, the number three seed, playing at home, hosting Tampa Bay. Detroit won 31-23. It was a good, close game for most of the game. Baker threw the picks late, and that was very costly. But let's give some credit to Detroit, because this is
a lot of credit.
An exciting development in Detroit. The Detroit fans were just over the top to get to host a playoff game.
31 years.
It's ridiculous. Yes. Incredible. 31 years to get this playoff victory. And now they go to the NFC Championship game to force the 49ers. I think they've got a legitimate shot to pull off an upset. But what impressed you most about Detroit at this point?
I think as close as that game was, and it took a while for Mike Evans, Tampa Bay's star receiver, to get going. And once he got going, man, oh, man, he looked unstoppable. But their defense was unreal. And Jared Goff, I have to say, I have never seen him throw as quick and in such tight windows. They just played with so much confidence. And I watched Dan Campbell, because obviously he's so entertaining, and he went to the sideline many, many, many times. His expression didn't change. He was all business all the time. I just loved their foot on the gas, nonstop. And they got great performances from, you know, the defender that got his first, got the Mayfield interception, his first one in 3 years.
Was
Branch? What was the last
Maybe name? It is, but that was a big moment for him. Just first pick in 3 years. And big time moment. And
it sealed the win.
Yes.
That was it.
Right.
And then, you know, you had Jahmyr Gibbs. What a performance by Jahmyr Gibbs. Wow.
Yeah, 114 scrimmage yards for Jahmyr Gibbs. And he looks the real deal. That ability to cut and then just accelerate, you know, that last run that he had was just so impressive. The last touchdown run, it was really impressive to show off his speed. And he had a dimension there that's really exciting.
Yeah, and you had Sam Laporta that looked amazing. Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, you had people stepping up all over the place. And credit their center, Jack, is it Rabinow?
Yes.
he was injured in the first half. And, I mean, it's now come out. It was a knee and ankle injury. That guy, he was not about to come out of that game. And Dan Campbell was concerned about him. I mean, he really got beat up. And I can't even believe how he gutted it up in the trenches. That was impressive.
Yep.
I don't know if we'll see him this coming weekend, but he wasn't coming out of that game.
Yeah, there was a moment I saw his face on the sideline, and he looked miserable. He was clearly in a ton of pain, but he was not going to miss that game. It was just too big a moment for Detroit.
And Aiden Hutchinson, I mean, just his sheer presence. I mean, he was, again, more pressures, and, I mean,
Does he remind you of J.J. Watt at all?
Yes, a lot.
The intensity, the physical size and build. Yes, he's a white guy. All those elements, they just remind me of each other. And
a fierce competitor.
They're both fierce competitors, yes. And so I think of them. That's why I sort of look at Hutchinson, and I think he's the second coming of J.J. Watt.
And he may even be better. I mean, he seems to be more durable. I mean, it remains to be seen. It's his first season. But what I really loved was afterwards, when everyone is celebrating, he stood there, and I mean, he just kept looking up. He was very calm, looking around the stands because, you know, he grew up in Plymouth, Michigan. Mm. He grew up going to this field and watching disappointment after disappointment.
Year after year.
And it's not even that, oh, my gosh, we broke through this glass ceiling.
Yep.
But he was a huge part of it, like a huge part of it. I mean, credit the Lions, how they have drafted for the past several years, what Dan Campbell has done, how his crazy fun style. I mean, he's so blue collar. And this is so perfect for the Motor City. I mean, it's just a match made in heaven.
It is amazing to think about how far they've come because as someone who, well, I had a relative who was from Detroit, and we would get together every Thanksgiving, and it was always a painful Thanksgiving because, one—
They always played the Thanksgiving game.
He always had to answer, why are the Lions getting the opportunity to play on Thanksgiving? It makes no sense. This is a marquee weekend, a marquee day for football, and always the Lions are being served up, and they were never any good. And that suffering that my relative had to deal with every Thanksgiving is now being shattered. It is now turned. And, yes, Dan Campbell deserved a ton of credit. But, man, they have drafted well. I mean, Sam Laporta, first-round pick, tight end, absolutely outstanding. He looks like he's going to be tied into this league for the next 10 to 12 years.
I agree. And I don't think he's fully healthy, but he sure looks like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a real risk that at this point in the season, almost nobody's fully healthy.
That's right. That's a good point.
But last thing I wanted to say about the Lions is, well, when I reflect on the final four quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and the NFC, you've got Purdy and Goff. And, of course, no one saw Purdy coming. He was Mr. Irrelevant. Goff was cast out by the amazing genius, Sean McVay, who looked at Goff and said, you're not good enough to be my quarterback. And here's Goff in the NFC Championship game playing at an elite level.
Against another number one draft pick. I mean, Baker was a number one pick in 18, and Goff was in 16. So that's a pretty cool matchup as well.
But one big difference, I think, for Jared Goff is he's under the tutelage of Ben Johnson, that offensive coordinator. And that's why Johnson's getting all these offers or consideration for head coach. Johnson's done an amazing job with Jared Goff.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at the coaching carousel. The Raiders have found their man.
Yes.
And there are many other questions looming. All that up next here on Sports Map Radio.
The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio. And we want to break down the coaching carousel. It is sort of a game of musical chairs. There are about seven openings, and there are a bunch of names floating around, circling all these chairs. We're waiting for some people to take a seat. And one team that has found their head coach is your team, Carla. It is Antonio Pierce, who will be the head coach of the Raiders. He, of course, came in as the interim coach this year and did a good job. Players loved him. And now Mark Davis has said, you're the man.
Yes. So Josh McDaniels was fired midseason after week eight. And Antonio Pierce took a team that was led by Aiden O'Connell, Does anyone know who that is? And 5-4 down the stretch, including a win over the Chiefs on Christmas Day. That was my best Christmas present.
Your Christmas
it
gift.
It really was. I have to Raider say, my to the phone big was win over blowing the up yes. during opening presents. So many people were saying, aren't you so excited? But anyway, I think, you know what, Mark Davis, I credit him for learning from last year or 2 years ago when John Gruden was fired midseason and Rick Bisaccia, special teams coach, took over, coached them into the playoffs, and then they departed away from hiring him. They didn't hire him and hired Josh McDaniels instead.
Just pause on that. Imagine if they'd hired him and kept Derek Carr. That would have been a better team than they've had under Josh McDaniels and the team they've had this year.
100%. You know. And when you have Derek Carr and Devontae Adams with a coach who knows what to do with them, i.e. Rick Bisaccia and clearly Antonio Pierce, you don't have to lose Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, anyway, we won't get into that.
That was clearly a Josh McDaniels person issue.
For sure.
Hard to explain why he thought Jimmy G was going to be a trade up from Derek Carr.
And then benches Jimmy G for Aiden O'Connell. I mean, confusing, the whole thing. But Antonio
Pierce.
That's
behind us. It's Antonio now.
Rearview mirrors are small, front windows are big, and there's a reason for that. So let's be positive. And I think it really, you know, Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs, and Max Crosby, the three biggest names on that roster and stars of that team, you know, vouched for Antonio Pierce to Mark Davis personally, obviously in the public as well, and so much so that Max Crosby said, if you don't hire him, I'm going to ask for a trade. I mean, we feel that strongly about him. And, you know, what's really cool is that this came from Max Crosby saying, being an NFL coach is more than the X's and the O's and the schemes. It's about leading men and getting them to see your vision and making it the team's identity. And really feels like Pierce is all that and more. Like he fully understands the brand of Raider football. And nobody personifies that more than Max Crosby on the field. I mean, Raider football is violent. It's aggressive. It's nonstop. I mean, Max gets that and Antonio Pierce gets that. And he was able to pull that out of that roster in that locker room.
Crosby has a motor that does not stop.
God.
He is a force of nature.
He is. I mean, he really is. And so this is really cool. So Antonio Pierce won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants under Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin says this about the Pierce hiring. This is the team that Antonio grew up watching, and his belief in himself and the players is exactly why he's there. He's a great student of the game. He's a quick learner with a great attitude, and he's eager to get to work. Great hire. So, and I really love Tom Coughlin and appreciate what he's done. So I think while, you know, there will be a lot of people who will maybe throw shade at this hiring because of Antonio Pierce's lack of experience at this level, when you have a locker room and they're willing to play for you and run through a wall for you, and they're playing the brand of football that is very unique to the Raiders, yeah, let's see what happens.
All right. You've heard it from the Princess of Darkness herself, self-proclaimed.
That's right.
World's biggest Raider fan, Antonio Pierce, to take the mantle. Now, there are all these other positions open. There are other names, big names floating around. There were three non-news events this week in that three coaches who were rumored as possible to be replaced will remain, those being Mike McCarthy staying with Dallas. We have Mike Tomlin staying with Pittsburgh and Nick Sirianni staying with the Eagles. And so all those three were rumored to be at risk, yet they will all return. And I think there was certainly a case to be made for all of them to move on. Mike Tomlin would have been the hardest one because this guy just
17 years.
He just wins.
With a winning record.
He never loses. So
exactly.
I was surprised at the noise around Mike Tomlin. In fact, he was the one that surprised me the most. Obviously, the way that the Eagles and the Cowboys ended their season, both McCarthy and Sirianni were certainly open to question and vulnerable. But Mike Tomlin seems above all that. He's had such a good run in Pittsburgh. If he had been fired, I think there would have been a ton of teams lined up to go and hire him. But it does appear that he will return on behalf to go and coach the Steelers again.
And, you know, they replaced their OC midseason.
They need to do that. Yeah, they need to upgrade the offense.
They
yes.
needed to do that. And I think he knows, too, I've got to do something at the quarterback position. Mason Rudolph is not going to be your long-term solution. Kenny Pickett has yet to prove himself. And, you know, he has had injuries. There's that. So I think that's got to be the offense, and the right quarterback has got to be a priority for Pittsburgh. I want to ask you, David, as a Cowboys fan, I mean, probably the most epic playoff collapse in franchise history with a 7 seed beating a 2 seed when Green Bay took down Dallas last week. So much noise about Mike McCarthy. How do you feel? Now, McCarthy has 1 year left on his deal. How do you feel about that decision to keep him on for yet another year?
So there were rumors, or people said, oh, Jerry wouldn't fire him because he's got another year and he didn't want to have to pay that cost while he's hired somebody else. I really don't think it's an issue of money. I think Jerry, if he could buy a championship, he would just buy it. I mean, this is a man who doesn't have a lot of time to waste. So I don't think it was having to pay two coaches next year or the buyout.
Do you think it's a loyalty? Jerry is so loyal to a fault? Do you think it's that?
First of all, this notion, and Mike Greenberg always calls him Itchy Finger Jerry. He can't resist. He's going to do something bold, different, exotic. Now, Jerry has been overly patient with his coaches.
Yes. I mean, I would say the exact opposite to that.
I know, but there's a group think out there. There's a chorus of that Jerry's impulsive. Jerry will do these wide-eyed things. Jerry will do this and that. Jerry stayed with Jason Garrett too long.
Right.
And
well, isn't he married to his like daughter or goddaughter or something?
Well,
like
I don't know that. But I mean, he gave Jason Garrett every chance to succeed, and he's giving it to Mike McCarthy. I actually think that the biggest reason he kept Mike McCarthy was because of Mike McCarthy, the offensive coordinator, and the work that's been happening with Dak. Dak really wanted Mike McCarthy to stay. Dak was vocal publicly and privately saying, I really believe that we are heading in a new trajectory offensively in this system. And something did go better for them offensively. Oh, probably about halfway through the year after that bye week, they came back and they were more in sync. Now,
Dak had a Pro Bowl season. That is not an easy thing to do. It's his best season as a Cowboy.
And so I think it's McCarthy. McCarthy is the OC that saved him more because, look, the alternative was if you hire Bill Belichick, which a lot of people would want them to do, and that has a whole lot of sizzle to it. If you hire Bill Belichick, then you're giving a new offensive coordinator, probably Josh McDaniels, to Dak Prescott. And Dak now has to have 3 different offensive coordinators in 3 years, from Kellen Moore to Mike McCarthy to Josh McDaniels. And that was that's the choice. That's the alternative opportunity. And I think it was the OC work that saved the head coach job for Mike. Interestingly, Dan Quinn is the other element of this, in that for the last couple of years, there was always a thought that Jerry Jones could fire Mike McCarthy because he had another head coach on his roster and he would elevate Dan Quinn. But the bloom's a little bit off that rose, too. I mean, Dan Quinn...
Not even a little bit.
Well, he has as much blood on his hands for that loss, if not more so, than Mike McCarthy. So at the moment, looks like McCarthy is coming back as head coach and offensive coordinator. And Dan Quinn is interviewing all around the league. It will be fascinating to see if anybody bites and takes him. For a while, it would look like it was going to be Seattle was going to bring Dan Quinn back. But after that game, I'm just not sure that everyone's going to be clamoring to get Dan Quinn. It will be fascinating to watch. But my point is, if they don't, it's amazing because they're bringing all of that staff back. And that's a hard sell after the way the season ended.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, I think what I'm most surprised about, so when they were featured on Hard Knocks a couple years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it is, 3 years maybe now, I loved, that was when Micah Parsons was having his rookie season. I loved getting to kind of see the inside look and really thought, this roster is tight. Like, they're like a family. Like, I was impressed by that, which didn't surprise me that, you know, you continue having 12-5 seasons when you have rosters like that. This week has shown Family Feud instead of a family. What is going on here? You've got Micah Parsons' brother launching a verbal attack on Dak. Like, what the heck? While questioning Micah's future in Dallas. Then you've got Dak's brother tweeting back saying, if I could get Dak out of Dallas, I would. Like, blah, blah. And then you've got CeeDee Lamb's mom calling out Dak, all caps. Dak isn't it. They got to get rid of his A blank blank. I mean, what is happening? And is this something, your lifetime Cowboys fan, is this a normal thing that goes on?
Well, I don't think it's normal, but that's not the Cowboys either. I mean, you listen to Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, and they're not trashing the Cowboys, and they're not trashing their teammates. Man. These are family members. I mean, you just got to go to the team itself. I don't know how else to answer it. All right, when we come back, we're going to look at the off-season or the season awards, such as the MVP and such. Who deserves to win the prize? That up next here on Sports Map Radio.
Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Okay, you did it again, Sean. Carla's dancing in studio. You know, it does raise a point because one of the controversies this season has been the Taylor Swift coverage.
Oh, yes. That's getting some interesting press from both sides of that. Yeah.
Some people love her. Some people hate her. But the fact that the TV goes to her whenever Travis catches a pass or Travis does a touchdown and she's up there bopping up and down, red lips flowing up, you know, it's a big deal. And Tony Dungy, others have said, no, this is not what we mean by football. So it's a bit of a controversy, and who would have thought it? I will say this. We were watching yesterday, and it was cold, cold weather there in Buffalo. Taylor looked like she was pretty comfortable in her little suite, right? She didn't enjoy that cold with all those Buffalo fans.
No, she did not.
But Tony Dungy, others have spoken out against Taylor. You do not want to lose support from the Swifties, because the Swifties are their own world. I mean, there's a huge number of them, and there's a huge number of them tuning in for NFL coverage when they think they're going to see Taylor.
You know, I am a football purist. I mean, I really am. And I look at Taylor Swift as an artist, as a marketing genius, like, wow, like no one's better. Like she really is incredible. I don't want them to mix. Like, this is not a Venn diagram for me. This doesn't cross in the subset. Like, hey, great. She's got her person. I'm glad that she and Travis are, you know, all in love and all the things. But I don't want to spend time talking about her. And I don't want, I understand the NFL. It's a business. And it's an entertainment business. And when you have the best entertainer of, you know, of this generation, dating, you know, one of your stars who's on every commercial, he's Baker Mayfield himself here. I mean, this is a match made in heaven for Roger Goodell, and all it does is put more bink, bink, bink into his bank account. But for me, I don't care if Taylor Swift is jumping up and down. And again, really like her, and I appreciate her, but I don't need to see it. I don't need to see the heart going up from Kelsey to her. I mean, like, done. I want to see X's and O's, but I am in sports. No, listen.
I agree with you. You know what? Funny thing.
I appreciate her. She's awesome.
But it's a funny line between the pure sports story and then this entertainment. And so obviously Taylor is just an entertainer, and she's a fan, and she's there, and she's a girlfriend of Travis. Fine.
Yeah.
You could ignore that she's even there and just focus on the football game, and then that would be fine too. But the interesting, there's a fine line, because one thing that bugs me is I'm watching everything on a Sunday afternoon is, let's go to the Fox Sports pregame show or postgame show. You know, you got Jimmy and Howie and all these guys in there, and they do a pretty good job, and it's fun and entertaining. But there's some silly things they do in there. For instance, one time they came back from break, and there was a lot of music playing, and there's six of them were all up there, standing up there in their suits, and then they all were dancing to the music. And I'm looking at 82-year-old Jimmy Johnson, I'm thinking, you're not really a dancer. Now, Howie Long, he was okay, but it was like six elephants dancing on the stage. I thought, what are you doing?
Getting kitschy.
That's the point. Or there's another time when one of them will make a somewhat funny comment, and they all just burst out laughing, ha-ha, historically, like something amazing was said, and they're just over the top a little bit in that. It's a little kitschy. That's a good example, way to describe it.
Yeah, and Taylor Swift is not kitschy, good gosh. But I just think, and I can see, if you're the NFL, this is a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great from that. But, you know, for me, I can do without it. That's fine. You know,
Okay, I want to ask you about some awards. I mean, we are at the point where we can start to think about who deserves to be Coach of the Year, who deserves to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Let's go down a few of these, and we've got some really good candidates this year for several of these awards. But let me start with Coach of the Year. I mean, the two guys that everybody seems to be talking about, Kevin Stefanski, who's done a great job. I mean, think about all the...
He's five quarterbacks he's had to use this year. Five starting quarterbacks.
All those
made it into the wild card game. Yeah.
Very impressive. And then there's a guy here in Houston, D'Amico Ryans, who's done an amazing job from three wins last season
Oh my God.
To a playoff victory this
and
year.
And claiming the AFC South title.
Unbelievable.
I mean, what? With a rookie quarterback and a rookie OC.
So, who do you want?
You know, I think the case for both of those guys is really neck and neck. The bummer is that the voting ended the Tuesday before wild card weekend.
Right.
And at that point, I would have been, I'm not sure. After wild card weekend, there's no doubt it's D'Amico. And I really would give it, so I would give it to D'Amico Ryans, even pre-wild card weekend, because he's a first-year head coach, and he's a defensive mind. His OC is a first-year OC. His quarterback is a rookie quarterback, first year. And you are coming off a 3-win season. That's what you inherited. And so what he has done with virtually nothing. When I look at Kevin Stefanski, yes, you have had a quarterback carousel this season, but you have Amari Cooper, you have Chubb, you have, you know, Njoku,
Miles Garrett.
I mean, you have more weapons than you could imagine. So I would give the edge to D'Amico Ryans, not just because I'm from Houston, but that's where I would go, and especially after wild card weekend.
All right, let's go to the MVP award.
I don't get to ask you?
No. Is it Lamar Jackson the guy this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like
I don't even think there's another consideration.
I mean, for a moment, Tyreek Hill was being mentioned. We also heard about Dak Prescott and Brock Purdy. Oh, but Lamar, this has been his season.
I think so. I really do. Because he has gotten better throughout the entire season. Where you look at, for example, you named Brock Purdy. He had that terrible mid-season stretch, 0-3, where he looked awful. He threw 4 interceptions versus Lamar Jackson. So I look at that and think, no. And then he ended this, you know, the game this weekend you look at. He had a terrible game until he could finally pick it up. So I don't think there's competition in the quarterback area. Tyreek Hill, you mentioned. I mean, he did make Tua look better. I mean, better than Tua probably is. And I think Tua had a great season. But they didn't get far enough in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, you got Lamar Jackson, winner of the MVP. Let's go to offensive rookie of the year.
Oh, there's no doubt.
There's really not much to discuss.
No.
C.J. Stroud, hands down. We haven't seen a quarterback come in and have a rookie year like that in a long time.
No, he is far and above. I mean, 23 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and over 4,500 yards passing. So, yeah, he's only the second rookie to have that many passing yards, only under Andrew Luck. So.
Okay, interestingly, the defensive rookie of the year, the Texans also have a candidate in Will Anderson, who had a very good season, but there are some other contenders here. I like Will Anderson for defensive rookie of the year. Some people are going to tout Kobe Turner of the Rams. Is there anybody else that turned your head, or you think Will Anderson's the guy?
I think Will Anderson, I think he's right up there. I think it's going to be a neck and neck as well. But I think I don't know. Who would you give it to besides Will
Anderson? Yeah, I guess the Rams defensive tackle, Kobe Turner, deserves some consideration. And I think it's going to be between those two. But I guess I would give my nod to Will Anderson. What would be amazing here is that you'd have on the Texans, as we've just done this, and we're trying not to be biased here in Houston, but we just gave D'Amico Ryans Coach of the Year, C.J. Stroud Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Will Anderson Defensive Rookie of the Year. So let's move on from those awards, and let's move to another one, which is
just, you know, honestly, it is not because we're from Houston. It's because you have a team that went 3-13-1, and you have a team that went 10-7, and 2 rounds of the playoffs.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Like that's a turnaround that is made for TV.
Okay, comeback player of the year.
Okay, well I am partial to DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, DeMar Hamlin's going to win this thing. I mean, there really hasn't been a comeback like his.
You don't think Baker Mayfield deserves consideration, because you do really like him. And he's had a great, you know what, considering what he's had 4 teams in 5 years.
Yes.
And, you know, he just got out of the playoffs in the second round. But I do look at a 9-8 record and think, okay, in an easy division, the NFC East,
but Baker should get some good second place votes. I mean, he definitely had a comeback season, but DeMar Hamlin is the story.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, let's go to defensive player of the year. And we're going to run out of time here because We are up against it in our last minute here. But
how can you not give it to Myles Garrett?
Yeah, Myles Garrett was outstanding.
Yes.
All right, let's go offensive player of the year.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, seeing what he does for that San Francisco 49ers offense,
he won
unbelievable.
That game. Yep. Yes, he did.
All right. All right, we're going to have to call it a night here.
Whoa.
And I'll tee up the fact that you got Anthony Pepe of the Diehards coming up next, and he will probably have all kinds of answers for where Bill Belichick will coach next year. So be sure to tune in to Anthony Pepe next. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.